What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
The Monday fun day edition of the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line. Best way to get in touch with us and keep in touch with us, 512-337-3776. That's how you do it. You can hit us up via Twitter. Hit me up at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Ray back there representing. He's got, man, he's representing. He's always representing. He's got a hat on today. He's got representing the state of Texas. Usually it's a Lakers hat, just for full disclosure. But today he's representing the state of Texas. You can hit him up via Twitter at Ray from the 361. Ray, what's going on, brother?
What's up, man? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was damn good, actually.
Yeah.
I was pretty lazy. And I watched a lot of movies, actually. I got some new technology at the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't divulge it. I don't want to get into it too much. Some new technology allowed me to watch a lot of movies. Let's just say that. You know what I'm saying? Did you watch a lot of the Winter Olympics?
No. I can't say I even watched 1 second.
All right. So, you know what? We got to find some way to get people interested in the Winter Olympics. So I got a kind of a Winter Olympics take on the show.
Okay.
Right? Did some research. And it's a random take, all right, from just kind of what was observed and one of the big storylines from the Winter Olympics. I feel bad if we don't talk some Winter Olympics on the show, honestly. You're talking about the biggest sporting event in the world. And, you know, we can start talking Cowboys, free agency, and Texans and stuff like that. So, which we will. And we'll talk, you know, Texas basketball and Texas football a little bit, too. All of those things that everybody loves. But we also got to we gotta do it. All right? It's like, you know, eating broccoli or Brussels sprouts or whatever. Eating your vegetables. I drink a green smoothie, like, twice a week. You know what I mean? That's kind of mine. Whatever. Or whatever it is. All right? It's that. So we got to get into it. We'll talk about it. I'll try to get you interested. I'll do my best. We'll also go behind the burnt orange curtain. Like I said, we'll do that coming up. Maybe even next segment we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. I've made comparisons. I've taken all the defensive recruits. I think there are 13 of them in that 2018 recruiting class. And my friends at Horns 24/7, they actually compared all the defensive recruits in the 2018 recruiting class to some NFL players. And it was pretty cool. I thought it was good. I took that idea and flipped it. So I'm going to compare the 2018 defensive prospects in that recruiting class to great or notable Longhorn football players in the past. All right, so we'll do that when we go behind the burnt orange curtain too. We'll talk a little bit of Longhorn basketball as well. Also, I know there's some kind of football recruiting nerds out there still following. There is actually a big recruit the Longhorns have not yet landed who could potentially be the biggest acquisition of this 2018 recruiting cycle for Texas. And we'll get into it because we'll do that too when we go behind the burnt orange curtain. Also, we got to talk LeBron because LeBron and the Cavs, they embarrassed the Boston Celtics. The new look Cavs, I should say. The new look LeBrons embarrassed the Boston Celtics over the weekend in Boston. All right. And I know Ray is probably excited about this because for some reason now, you since the trade, basically the overhaul, I should say, of the Cavs, where they traded away, you know, Dwayne Wade is gone, D. Rose is gone, Isaiah Thomas, of course, is gone, and they acquired all these different role players around LeBron. LeBron is back to being himself, and the Cavs are back to winning. And they look like they're the best team in the East.
Yeah. I mean, the power rankings, they just after this one win, power rankings already put them back up in the top 10 of the league.
The East was already a toss-up, and it's like, well, they got the best player, and now they look good, and they embarrassed the Boston Celtics on their floor. The game of the Paul Pierce – was it the Paul Pierce jersey?
Yeah, jersey retiring, yeah.
Man, this is ridiculous.
He had all his buddies there, too.
I don't understand what Boston is doing. When you retire somebody's jersey during a game or for a game, or you have any ceremony during a game, you do it at halftime or you do it before the game. You do not plan on doing it after the game. The plan was to do it after the game. You can't plan on winning something and then celebrating whatever you're deciding to celebrate or whatever tribute you're going to make. You can't do that. You do it at halftime where everybody's at least still interested because at least you should be still in the competition, whatever it is, at halftime. Or you do it before the game, pregame. The fact that they did it after the game, the basketball gods decided to punish them. And they deserved it, yeah. And Paul Pierce was embarrassed during his jersey tribute ceremony because LeBron James basically came there in his old house and, you know, just, you know, did what LeBron James does, dominated. Yeah, and so we'll get into that, too, because that's an interesting conversation. And I got to take on whether that, you know, this new-look LeBron team will be a contender to win it all. And I don't know if they will, but in the East right now, they're looking like the LeBron James can go to his 8th straight finals. All right, so we'll get to that, too, and talk some NBA. The Rockets, of course, over the weekend, they actually – and reportedly, they're going to make an acquisition. We don't know if it's not final yet, but it's in the books. They're already making moves
really?
To get it done.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Going after your boy D Rose?
No, nah, man. The Rockets. No. It's actually one of those things where it kind of fell into the Rockets' lap.
Nice. Like,
and I don't know. And it's going to make them better. I don't know exactly how they're going to use this player, but he's well known. He's an all-star and. You know, well, a former All-Star, not an All-Star this year. But I think it's going to make the Rockets better. And their goal is to try to contend with the Warriors. The true championship game, or true championship series, I should say, in the NBA this year will be in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. That's where it will be. And everything is pointing to the Rockets and the Warriors on a collision course. All right, so we'll address that. All right, so let's not waste any time. Let's get into all the headlines that you need to know, that you should know in today's rundown.
These are the top headlines of the day. It's time for the rundown.
All right, the rundown is always brought to you by our good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net with two N's is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. The Winter Olympics, that is the number one headline, all right, whether y'all like it or not. It's the biggest sporting event going on in the world. Here in Texas, we don't like to, you know, acknowledge it that much, but it is, all right? Right now, Germany is leading in the total medal count. Got 4 gold medals, 1 silver, 2 bronze medals, so they got 7 overall. The Netherlands also tied with them, but the Netherlands only have 3 goals. So the Germans win the tiebreaker, I guess, if you will, in medals. They also have 7. Norway has 9 medals total, but gold is what matters most. There is a point system on it, but I'm not going to bore you with the point system. But Norway is 3rd in the medal count, even though they have 9. They only have 2 gold medals. 4 silver, and 3 bronze medals. Canada, 4th overall in the point system in terms of medals. They also have 2 gold medals, 4 silver medals, and 1 bronze medal. They also have 7. So they're tied with the Netherlands and Germany in terms of overall medal count. Norway is 1st in like overall medal count, but there's a point system based on gold medals, silver medals. United States of America, all right, right now 5th. With 2 gold medals, only 1 silver, 1 bronze right now, and 4 medals total for USA, for Team USA. And France is behind them with 3, then Sweden with 2. Austria has 1, Republic of Korea has 1, there you go. In terms of and they have, like I said, a point system, so it's not totally based on medal count, but then it is. right? So it's basically how many medals do we have overall, and then how many gold medals do you have? That's really what matters, you know what I mean? To me, to simplify it, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, I see the Winter Olympics, and you know, you said Norway right now holds first place with all the medals.
They have 9
yeah.
total.
I feel like it's more dominated by those Northern Hemisphere type countries, you know, where the winter games or winter sports are more popular in those countries, where I could just see, like, you know, United States, like, you know, half of the country likes hockey, not a whole lot likes figure skating. You know, it's just those competitions. I could see, like, you know, Russia being really good at those things. Like you said, Norway, a lot of those Eastern European countries, or just any European country, really.
Canada's 7th. Yeah. That's why there's still no excuse for America. We should be, I mean, Americans expect to finish at least in the top 3 of something like that. Yeah. If there's a world competition. So, I mean, it ain't over. It's still really early.
Not.
And America right now being 5th is still pretty good.
That's good.
And they got time to close. There are a lot of other events and a lot of other different competitions. So I think America's in a good position. And I agree with you. We don't care about it enough. The Winter Olympics, the Summer Olympics, I think you get more of an investment from the American people. The Winter Olympics, not so much. But listen, America's got no excuse. We have enough people and we have enough resources. We should be able to contend top 3 and all of those. I think we're closing in on that. And there are some really good storylines from the Olympics, and we'll address some of those too. All right, we'll get into from the Winter Olympics, and we'll get into some of those too.
All right, yeah. So our next headline for you in some NFL news. The Indianapolis Colts have seemed to finally have found their new head coach. Looks like they're taking Frank Reich from the Philadelphia Eagles. He was their OC this last year. We were all able to see what he was able to do with that offense in Philadelphia. You know, seeing a hurt Carson Wentz and a hurt Jason Peters and still being able to, you know, run a really, hurt Darren Sproles and still be able to run a really efficient offense with a lot of backups, you know, I think that's just, obviously it's credit to the depth of the team, but at the same time, you know, just to be able to take an offensive mind and be able to play with your backups and still be able to take some of those risks that they took, especially in the Super Bowl. I think it's a good pick for them. Like I've said pretty much the whole time while we've been talking about this head coaching search for the Indianapolis Colts, they have so many more problems out there than their head coach and their offense. I mean, not just their offense, but I feel like it's not really a head coach or a quarterback issue. It's more of an entire personnel issue. Like, Jacoby Brissett was the highest sacked quarterback this past season. I think he had 52 sacks in the season, which was almost 10 higher than the second person behind him. And then the year before that, Andrew Luck, I believe, had like 41 sacks in the season, which he was the highest that season as well. So they got a lot of problems over there on the offensive line and also on the defensive side. So
in the front office too.
Yeah, in the front office. Yeah, in the front office.
Jim Irsay, and then you look at the Josh McDaniels situation, the way it was handled. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, it looked like they were still trying to keep it offensive-minded head coach over there. Obviously, they went for Josh McDaniels. He reneged, and now they went to another OC in Philadelphia. So they're trying to keep an offensive mind coach out there, but I don't think that's what they need.
You know, I like the hire. You know what? We'll get into this a little bit later on, but I got to tell you, I think I like that hire. I think it's one of those things. It's not a big splash and it's not flashy, but it might end up being the right hire for them in this situation. But we'll get into that too. You're right. They got a lot of other issues though that need addressing, and he's got a staff that he can't hand pick.
Oh yeah,
another challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
There are guys there that are already signed under Josh McDaniels, or the assumption that Josh McDaniels is coming, and they're still on the contract with the Colts. And he's got to accept those guys. He's just got, you know what I mean? So if they got the defensive coordinator, you know, that's there, or this, you know, a couple of different assistant coaches, those guys are under contract, and he's got to, you know, find some way to weave them into his system and his culture. So, yeah, he's got a lot of challenges. There are a lot of challenges there. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. All right, so one of the big free agents in Major League Baseball is off the table, Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish signed with the Cubs for a 6-year, $126 million deal. We were just talking about how stagnant the free agent market was in Major League Baseball last week. This splash may get things going. Spring training is right around the corner. for Major League Baseball. So, you know, maybe this will get some of those big-time free agents off the table in an historically slow free agent season. But Yu Darvish, right now, signed with the Cubs, 6 years, $126 million. So it makes the starting rotation for the Cubs. Lester, Darvish, Hendricks, I think you can throw in there, who's up and down, but I think improving. And then after that, they have, you know, Quintanilla and Chatwood. So, you know, one of the best rotations in baseball gets even better with Yu Darvish now on the table.
Yeah, we'll just see if he can keep it up in the postseason.
Wasn't
able to do that against the Astros.
The Astros figured him out.
Yeah.
The Astros said that he was tipping off his pitch. Oh, allegedly, I should say, tipping off his pitches. And they figured something out. So if he corrects that,
yeah,
then, you know, I mean, still the Yu Darvish of old. You can still get that.
So in NBA news, Dallas, was in Houston this past weekend, and Houston got the win, 104-97. James Harden had 27 points. Chris Paul had 25, and Clint Capela had a double-double out there. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds. Going on towards the Mavs side, Farrell had 20 points, and Dennis Smith Jr. had 16 points, 11 assists.
All right, we'll talk more Rockets a little bit later on the show, too, because I want to get into the Rockets' latest acquisition. They didn't do anything at the trade deadline, but there was an acquisition after that, a possible acquisition that's right now on the it's right now on the cusp that we'll get into that could help that team. All right, Texans running back Deontay Foreman, lifetime Longhorn Deontay Foreman, has reached a resolution on the charges against him that stem from marijuana and gun charges on his arrest in Austin. According to Houston-based attorney Chip Lewis, he says the star pleaded no contest to a single misdemeanor count, a charge of disorderly conduct for making unreasonable noise. So the charge will be dismissed by the Travis County prosecutors, provided the NFL player has no legal issues for like 90 days. So basically the charges will be dropped as long as he doesn't have any issues for 90 days, which I'm sure he won't have any issues for 90 days. I think there's a $500 fine I think he's going to be required to pay. But the charges that had to do with the marijuana, and I think there was a gun charge like they threw on there, those charges have been dropped.
Nice.
For Deontay Foreman. Yeah, that is nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I was actually just going back to this real quick. I saw an article today. It was a fantasy football article, and it was talking about dynasties coming forward. And a lot of people like the Deshaun Watson and Deontay Foreman combo as a dynasty for the Houston Texans, you
really?
Know, in the coming years.
Yeah. Oh, like for fantasy.
Yeah, for fantasy,
like,
football. Yeah, like kind of pick them up, both
combo.
Of them up on your team. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
You yeah, so what? It should be fun to watch.
Oh, I want to get into that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I agree with that 100%. Okay. All right. Yeah, later on for another time.
So in NHL news, the Canucks shut out the Dallas Stars. They were actually on a 4-game losing streak, and then they go ahead and shut out the Stars 6-0 last night.
All right, that is the rundown brought to you by good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. All right, one of the really interesting stories from the Olympics was, I'm not pretending to be some expert in the Winter Olympics, but the first American woman to complete a triple axel in the Olympics was Mirayu Nagasu, who basically is kind of an older figure skater. Like, she's way past her prime. Kind of 8 years, I think, since her first Olympics. So in the Olympic world, like the Olympics are like dog years for athletes because you got the 4-year gap and all that kind of stuff. But she actually completed. She's the third woman. To complete a triple axel, the third American woman to complete a triple axel in any competition, but in the Olympics, she's the first American woman to do it, like in Olympic competition. There are only 8 women that have done the triple axel in the history of the world. Like, that's how difficult it is. Like, it is one of those types of things. Like, it's really, really something that is rare, and to do it in an Olympic competition is even more rare. So that is something, but it's weird they didn't win the gold. Like, I mean, I think she finished third, I believe, They end up getting the bronze medal for it. So she didn't even get the gold for something that's considered like one of the rarest feats in the sport. So I really don't get figure skating, and not because of the judges. People are like, oh, it's because of the judges. Listen, college basketball has judges. The college basketball committee, to a certain extent, decides where you are and what you do. So they got a certain extent of judges. And the college football playoff committee, of course. Of course, they don't decide it entirely like figure skating. But, I mean, that's part of the complaint. I'll give you an example. This is why figure skating is weird. Because if you do a backflip in figure skating, think about how awesome that is. A backflip, like, on ice with, like, blades, all right, on figure skating. It's illegal. You are deducted points in figure skating if you backflip.
That's crazy, man.
No, it is. It's illegal. I did research on it. I know. You're like, what? I know. Because I don't know anything about, you know, I'm sure somebody's like, oh, of course that is. How'd you not know that? I didn't know. I was an ignoramus to it. All right? The backflip is considered an illegal figure skating move. It can be done in exhibitions and in professional ice skating competitions, but the backflip will not receive credit. And a skater will receive deductions or can even be disqualified, depending on the individual competition rules, if the move is performed in eligible figure skating competitions. The backflip is considered an illegal figure skating move at standard U.S. figure skating and ISU International Skating Union competitions. It's been done by, like, four people. There's one woman who has actually, performed the backflip in Olympic competition. 1998 Olympics, Surya Banali, all right, landed the backflip on 1 foot. She landed, she did a backflip on ice and landed on 1 foot. But the move was still illegal at the time. She performed the backflip during the free skate because she was injured and because she was out of the gold medal competition. She received a deduction for the move and finished in 10th place. She had previously demonstrated her backflip during practice at the 1992 Olympics, but didn't use it in competition. And then there are like three other men who I believe have done it too. I'll give you a minute. Here it is. Figure skating champion Scott Kramer completed 10,000 backflips on ice skates. He was the third figure skater to do backflips. Skippy Baxter and Terry Kubica did it as well. Terry Kubica did it during the 1976 Winter Olympics. And he was doing another move, I think, that broke the ice and it was a big controversy. Anyway, he was known for doing it too. My point is, figure skating is very weird. Like a lot of Winter Olympic competitions, they're just really strange. Like the one where you, like, ski down a mountain and shoot stuff. Like, it's a really lot of weird stuff. I actually am into it. You probably, if you're of age, should, like, enjoy a few beverages and just watch the Winter Olympics. Because it's really, like, curling. The curling is probably the most mind-boggling of Winter Olympic competitions. You've seen the curling, I'm sure, right?
Nope.
You've not watched curling?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you guys got to watch this. I can't even describe it to you. It's like people, like they have these, like, I don't know, what are they, like brooms? I don't know what the hell they are. Where they're scraping the ice.
It makes sense.
It's very strange. I can't describe it to you.
I've been seeing a lot of, like, the memes and stuff going around, and I feel like people are making fun of curling a lot because they're, like, taking pictures of, like, brooms and Walmart and be like, I'm training for curling.
Curling is one of those sports where you think you could do it. Like, there are a lot of jobs out there. I actually do one of them where most Americans believe they can do my job. Like, they're like, I can do what that guy does. Like, that's why that people don't respect radio guys. I can do what that guy does. I can do exactly what he's doing. I love sports. I know sports. I can talk about sports. I can do it all day. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those jobs. You just got to deal with that. All right? Firemen, not one of the jobs everybody believes they can do. You know what I mean? Policemen, teachers, most of the civil servants in our society, God bless you. Nobody believes, like, I can do that job. That better? No, you can't. Nobody believes that. But our jobs, like, yeah, people believe they can do that job just as good as you. All right? It's just one of those things. And I think curling is one of those sports people are like, I can do that. I can really do it. I can do that. If you gave me a couple of months to learn it, I could do that. They believe it's like a bar. It's kind of a bar room skill to them, which is like throwing darts. Or, well, you have to try to get that little ring on the hook. Everybody knows that bar game. Oh, I can do that. I'm really good at that when I get really wasted. It's like bowling. People are like, oh, man, if I get wasted, I'm better at it. Like, that's what curling is, essentially, to Americans. It's a really weird sport. I think people should watch, you know, more of the Winter Olympics. I am really intrigued by the fact that you know, the triple axel there. She's Mirai Nagasu is the first American woman to complete a triple axel in Olympic competition. Third woman, I believe, as an American period to do it. Tonya Harding. Tonya Harding's big claim to fame, if you go see the I, Tonya movie, is that she's one of the first Americans to complete the triple axel. And now that's her claim to fame, because at that time only like four folks in the history of the world had done it. And she was one of the, you know, people that had done it. There are some other women that had done it, but she was the first American woman to land the triple axel. And she was also the first in the world to notch two triple axels in one single competition. So she would do a triple axel and then she'd do a triple axel again. So she was a freak. It was like, man, we never seen that before. Just if you're a figure skating fan, this is how excited you would be. You're like, man, that's crazy. And there are only two other women who have landed one in Olympic competition. They're both Japanese. Midoro Ito and Mao Asada to land. Triple axel is good. I mean, and they have no rhyme or reason as to why they've made the backflip illegal. I don't know why they would make it illegal. It sounds like something. It's like. Remember the NBA? The dunk was illegal at one point. The slam dunk was illegal. Like, it was like, no, we don't want you dunking the ball. That is a monstrosity. That's blasphemy. In terms of basketball, to dunk a basketball. Like, what? That means that person is more athletic than, you know, his peers. He should be given that natural advantage. No, they outlawed the slam dunk for a while. He couldn't even dunk the basketball. Of course, it was, you know, people came to a reasonable conclusion that, oh, yeah, you know what, dunking the basketball, that's not weird. I think figure skating might be in that phase. Like, why would you outlaw the backflip? People are like, oh, it's about safety. Have you seen a triple axel? You could break your leg, literally, every time you try a triple axel. You're doing 3.5 turns and then trying to land on one foot. Like, you could break your shin. The whole damn leg could collapse. All right? And so it ain't about safety. It's something weird going on with the sport. I don't know. I like figure skating. Figure skating is one of the most, I would say it's one of the most popular sports in the Winter Olympic Games. No question. So I did research on it. Obviously, way too much research. But I don't know. I don't think people know that. Because I love sports. I didn't know that. I was like, what's going on with that? So there are only like eight women. Mirai Nagasu, she becomes the – oh, sorry, ninth woman. There were eight women prior to her. She becomes the ninth woman to land the triple axel. Yeah. So it is a big deal. Most people don't believe it. It is a big deal. If you can do a backflip, even better – but you have to go to Cirque du Soleil because you're not going to be an Olympic champion on that. Very strange. All right, that's as much Winter Olympics as I'm talking. But I hope I made it halfway interesting. That was it. That's all I got. Ray, are you interested?
I'm interested a little bit.
Did I get you a little interested?
Yeah. I was looking up some triple axels on YouTube right now.
I'm telling you, you can do it. They're crazy. Look up the backflips. Forget the triple axel. Look up backflips. And they've been outlawed. Like, oh, they were offensive to these judges. And that's the whole – go watch I, Tonya, too. If you learn two things from this rant, go watch the movie I, Tonya, legally if you can. All right? just go watch it. Make sure you have access to it. And go look up on YouTube the backflips on figure skating backflips. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. I mean, talk about athletes. Talk about some explosive athletes. I mean, think about what you got to – think about how athletic you have to be to perform a backflip on ice. And they won't let those folks have the advantage. It's crazy. All right. That's enough. We come back. We'll get into some more important headlines today. I got another rant too, actually, by the way. A reminder for all the men out there listening right now, all right? And it is this is a red alert. We'll have that when we come back. Also, we'll talk about LeBron James's new look calves. We'll get into that too. All that and more when we return. This is the Ride Catch right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. All right, let's read some texts on the Specs text line. One of the texts is, the text says, Rod, it was a team competition and not an individual competition, and that's why she didn't get individual gold. I understand that. And even with the young ladies prior to that who actually did the triple axel in Olympic competition, they didn't get gold, and some of them were in competitions and they were in individual competitions, but there's never been, I guess my point is, how do I phrase this? There's never been a gold medal in Olympic competition awarded for anyone or any team where a triple axel has been performed, at least for the ladies, who are the primary, I think. I don't watch a lot of men's figure skating. Maybe I'm missing something. It's like tennis, and it's like gymnastics, where the ladies' figure skating is the marquee attraction. Am I off about that? I could be wrong about that.
No, I mean, that's exactly the way I see it. I don't really watch a whole lot of Winter Olympics, but I see it the same way as I see gymnastics, women's gymnastics.
Men's gymnastics exists, but they're not the marquee attraction there for the populace. So it's one of those things where I understand that, but it's weird to me that triple axel is so exalted and so heralded, and yet when people do it, you know, it's not one of those things where it should be like, you know, in the dunk competition, you get all 10s and dunk, you win. You know, it should be the walk-off. Like, oh, you know what? Triple axel, done deal. Well, nobody does that.
You see the judges all stand up and throw their cards and everybody goes crazy.
Like, you know, the WNBA, I think there are like 3 or 4 women that have dunked the basketball in like the WNBA.
Isn't that illegal for them as well?
No.
I thought dunking was illegal in the WNBA.
No, it better not be. That's un-American. Making dunking legal and making backflips illegal in skating competition is un-American. If people want to risk their lives and their and their own health, all right, to do a backflip on ice, which I consider to be dangerous, like Cirque du Soleil dangerous, then you should let them do it. You know what I mean? Someone says, I think it's because the backflip isn't considered a graceful move. The I, Tonya movie gets into that. She said she wasn't graceful and elegant enough for figure skating, and that's why they didn't like her. Madden Player says, curling is the best Olympic game to drink to. You know what? I agree with that. I'm going to endorse that 100%. All right, safe and sound somewhere. You hang out and take a couple of good drinks and enjoy and take in the curling. I guarantee you'll be fascinated. One texter says figure skating is the most popular sport in the Winter Olympics. Even in America, it gets the highest TV ratings by far, especially among women, which is what the networks want from that sporting event. Too bad they don't really show enough of the other events unless Americans are involved. Don't get me started on the tape delays or the modeling features about the U.S. Olympics. He says, the endless commercials. He said the backflip is too dangerous. They don't want to get they don't want gymnastics. They don't want skating. Boom. Hashtag Gary. Too dangerous. That's ridiculous. That's the whole point of it. That's why it's so intriguing. It's like, man, that is dangerous. You're going to do that on ice? You're going to do that in the comfort zone of doing it in Olympic competition? The brass pair it takes to do that, the scones, the testicular fortitude, whatever, to do that in Olympic competition, you should be rewarded for it. And you're not. That's why your sport, you know, to me, does it, and even though it's very popular, it lacks even, you know, some of the respect it actually deserves as to how dangerous the sport is. And, you know what I mean? Like the real commitment and sacrifice of that sport.
Yeah.
People are risking everything. It's like, football? Yeah. Try to do a backflip on ice. Yeah. You think football players are in danger? You know what I mean? Like, these people are practicing that every day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, even the skiing, that's one of the attractions. Man, this person is doing this, they're practicing this every day. You watch some of those events. You're like, you're risking your life every day just to practice this thing.
10 times a day.
Every attempt you take,
you're risking your life.
That's part of the attraction, so I don't understand. Someone says curling is like shuffleboard with squeegees on ice. It's a great description. Curling is weirdly addictive. I like seeing the concentration on their faces. Yeah, these people are committed. You got to watch it, Ray. I'm telling you.
I know. I need to check it out.
It's legit. It's legit. Someone says, hey, Rod, the reason a backflip is outlawed is figure skating is considered poetic, and a backflip is not considered the kind of one of those nice, beautiful, poetic moves. I agree with that. But that's ridiculous. That's, you know what I mean? I'm not going to connect this like the Me Too movement. That's like stereotyping and stuff like that. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tennis went through that phase where women were supposed to play a certain role in tennis and men were supposed to be, you know, a better product because it's men playing against men. Turns out America, you know, it was – America was more attracted to the women's style of tennis than the men in the long run. Now, I mean, back in my day when I was growing up, yeah, men's tennis was big. But now – that's kind of crazy to think of men's tennis as being more popular than women's tennis.
Yeah,
it's one
definitely.
Of those sports where it's not the case. Figure skating is like that, and we talked about gymnastics is like that. It's just, you know, it's strange. And even though we're living in a male-dominated sports ecosystem, there are those outliers. And I think, you know, gymnastics is one of those, and of course, figure skating, one of those.
Figure skating needs to go the Blades of Glory route and kind of like Vince McMahon needs to like put some WWE into figure skating and make a show, you know?
The I Tonya Olympics or whatever with her and Nancy Kerrigan, highest rated figure skating event or Winter Olympics, I believe, in history. I gotta go back and look at it and see if I'm wrong. But yeah, that's the case. So they should just let it loose, man.
Yeah.
I agree. Turn it into like a WWE style. When America was more attracted, the world was more attracted than ever. Let it loose. I agree. I'm with you on this here. I'm intrigued by the sport. It's like when I go watch volleyball in the Irwin Center. I go watch the UT volleyball team, and man, they are incredible. Like it's unbelievable. It's like watching X-Men before your very eyes. How high they can jump and how explosive they are. It's unbelievable. And I think there are some sports where you can observe that with women. And that's why, you know, the WNBA, I think they want more dunks. But, you know, it's one of those things, it's an evolutionary process. Anyway, I'm getting way too deep into this thing. This is what happens when you start talking Winter Olympics. You get into it. All right. Okay. Someone says curling is shuffleboard on ice with brooms. Fun drinking game. Every time a block knocks out one drink. There you go. Boom. There you go. See, I'm telling you, it's curling is fascinating. All right, real quick. The Colts hired Frank Reich, who is, and I hope I'm saying it now. I feel weird saying that.
It's Reich.
It is, I know, but the Reich that everybody, that comes to mind when you say Reich. Well, no, it is. Well, anyway, when do you say Reich? When do you say Reich? Usually in historical
conversation. Yeah, when you're talking about the Third Reich.
Talking about the Third Reich. It's weird to say that, but Frank Reich, who has nothing to do with that, the Third Reich. All right. He is the new head coach of the Colts. And, you know, the Colts had the drama with Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels, you know, the reneger. All right. The reneger decides he wants to stay with the Patriots. And it's real, you know, they go through the embarrassment of having to admit they didn't have him signed. They did not have his signature on the contract before they reported it. So that's on them. But they end up hiring Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, to me, I love the hire. It's one of those things where, you know, it's late, but it might be right on time for them. And Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, he changed his philosophy up because at first he was interviewing all these splash candidates. He was interviewing, you know, Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel, who's a Tennessee Titans coach now, and Matt Rhule, I think he interviewed. Remember he interviewed Matt Rhule for that job? And Matt Nagy as well, who's the Bears head coach. Going for all these big splash names and splash hires, nothing wrong with that. But I think once he got embarrassed on a grand scale, he decided to dial it back. And you know what? It may have ended up being the best thing for him. I mean, it's not the flashy hire like a Josh McDaniels or a Mike Vrabel. And it's it seems to be more about the alignment and the culture, because their biggest concern is Andrew Luck with that franchise. What the hell's going to happen with Andrew Luck? All right, he's the franchise right now. And, you know, people don't look at the resume of Frank Reich, but he worked with Peyton Manning for some time. He worked with Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning gave him a glowing endorsement once he heard he got the job. He worked with Phillip Rivers. Of course, we know the job that he did with Philadelphia with Nick Foles, the backup quarterback at the helm, even with Carson Wentz, who was probably going to be the MVP before he got hurt, or at least was on track to be the MVP. He's got a really good track record with quarterbacks, man. And he himself was a quarterback, all right, backup quarterback. He may be one of the best backups of all time. I'll say this about Frank Reich, because I was a Love You Blue guy from the Oilers days, and I'm a Houston Texans fan. And having, you know, having Frank Reich now be the head coach of the Colts, for a Texans fan or a Houston pro football fan, it's kind of like having the guy who had an affair with your wife move in a couple of doors down in your neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, it's this guy. People forget this. Frank Reich orchestrated the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL in the playoffs, in the postseason, against the Oilers. What was it? 1993? 1993 playoffs. The Oilers are up 35-3. In that game, and they end up losing 41-38. It's one of the most most historic collapses in the history of sports. And now the guy that, and they knocked out Jim Kelly out of the game, and the guy that brought him back was not Jim Kelly, because he was knocked out of the game. That's how I remember, you know, leaving. I didn't even watch the second half as a young man. I was like 13 at the time, I believe. Maybe 12 at the time, actually. And I went outside to play football because I was like, hey, the Oilers are moving on. Time to go celebrate. I'm going outside to play football with my friends. Came back in to a dark room with my dad drinking Crown Royal, saying the Oilers lost the game. They lost the game, son. And I was like, what are you talking about? I couldn't fathom it. It was like, what are you talking about, Dad? They lost the game, son. You know what I mean? Like, it was that heartbreaking. I remember the moment. I didn't even watch the second half. And that guy who orchestrated that comeback is now the head coach of one of your division rivals. That's hard to deal with. That's emotional. But it's a happy accident for the Colts fans. I'll tell you, it's a happy accident. I think it's almost like, you know, when that, you know, the girl you thought you were going to marry and she broke up with you or cheated on you and did you dirty, and because of that, basically found the woman of your dreams a little bit later on. You know what I mean? It's one of those. It's like romantic comedy where, you know, the right one, or the, you know what I mean, your soulmate was there all along and you just overlooked them because you were looking at the flashy, most popular person or whatever in that romantic comedy. Probably in a high school or something. I don't know. Whatever. You know how romantic comedies work. All right. So there you go. I think Frank Reich is going to be a good hire for him. I do. I think it's a happy accident that Josh McDaniels, reneging on them, if you will. All right. We'll come back. We'll dive into some more NFL news, notes, and nuggets, some NBA talk as well. All of that and more when we return. This is the Rodcast right here on Horn 104.9 and AM 1260. Hey, welcome back to the Rodcast. We were just talking about Frank Reich becoming the new Colts head coach. One of the fallouts from that is John DeFilippo, the former quarterback's coach of the Eagles. He is also leaving that staff. He is going to the Vikings, I believe, to be their offensive coordinator. So everybody trying to copy that blueprint, all right, that template that the Philadelphia Eagles had offensively. And you know, I saw this from John DeFilippo about the relationship between he and Nick Foles about the game plan. And he said, quote, I set him down and made him list for me and our coaching staff. What are your best concepts? What do you see best for yourself? Because I'm not myself, Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, we're not the ones out there throwing it. He is. So we sat down and spent time with Nick formulating game plans on what he felt comfortable doing. For me, that's coaching. Why would you ask a player to do something that he's not comfortable with? That's good coaching to me. Nick was open and honest about things he was comfortable with, and that's how we formulate the game plan. There you go. I don't know why more coaches don't do it. It's probably arrogance and pride. Ask quarterbacks what they're comfortable with. Remember, the Houston Texans, that's what they did with Deshaun Watson. You know, Bill O'Brien said it. He said, hey, I've always listened to players. I think that's important. I think it's a two-way street. They're out there and they can see specifically what's happening in the game. And he brought that up when they were asked how they changed the offense so drastically when Deshaun Watson took over. And Deshaun Watson said, basically, here's the quote. He said, just building our trust with each other, teaching me the real details of the offense. He's a player's coach. He understands we're the ones playing, so we're seeing different things than he's seeing. He loves to take advice and get different tips from players. Bill O'Brien admitted that Deshaun Watson was teaching him the Clemson concepts from the Clemson offense, and that's why they were able to transition him so effectively to the NFL level using RPOs, using a lot of those spread concepts, the bunch formations, and all the things he had gotten comfortable with at Clemson. And remember, this is how the Shanahans did it with RG3. With the Washington racial slurs. Remember, they bring in that Baylor playbook with RG3. And there are some coaching trees right now that are on fire. The Shanahan coaching tree is one of them. Remember, San Francisco, of course, that's Kyle Shanahan. The Rams, Sean McVay, that is from the Shanahan tree. He was on that staff when they had RG3. And they, you know, started using so all those college concepts from that Baylor playbook. The New York Jets have Jeremy Bates. He was also on that staff. He's their offensive coordinator. And Tennessee has Matt LaFleur, who also was on that L.A. Rams staff with Sean McVay. So that Shanahan coaching tree has been highly coveted, mostly because it was exposed to the college concepts and a lot of those spread concepts very early, almost out of necessity because of RG3. The second coaching tree that's taken over, the Andy Reid coaching tree. That Andy Reid coaching tree with now the Vikings, because from Doug Peterson, who's from that Andy Reid coaching tree, and of course Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator, now the Bears head coach, Doug Peterson, Philadelphia head coach, he was the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid with the Kansas City Chiefs, and now you have the Colts. I guess you can throw in there too, because he was the offensive coordinator after he became the quarterback's coach, but the offensive coordinator for Philadelphia under Doug Peterson. So that coaching tree, which is also fusing a lot of college concepts effectively, is what Philly did, using more RPOs than any team in the NFL, twice as many RPOs, run pass options, as any team in the NFL. That coaching tree now also being favored. And of course, the Belichickian coaching tree. All right, that's all over the place. And now with Matt Patricia, with Detroit, and Matt Vrabel, I think, is considered that as well. So the concepts that are popular in a copycat league like the NFL, man, they catch fire extremely quick. Really, really quickly. But I think the point is that all of those concepts have been very progressive in how they've utilized their personnel, and they're not afraid to dip into the experimental ground of college football and take those concepts and use them at the NFL level. I think that's been the common denominator between all those guys who are rising really, really fast, and they're all offensive guys. There's going to be a lot more coaches calling their own plays now. Doug Peterson, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, that's going to become the commonplace. You're going to have probably close to 20 coaches calling their own plays offensively and defensively, which is something that was not the case 5-6 years ago. Remember, they took that away from Jason Garrett because, you know, he wasn't ready for it. They talked about taking away from Mike McCarthy, different coaches. Bill O'Brien decided to do it last year. You're going to see more and more coaches decide to do that. All right. We'll come back. There are other headlines, including Johnny Manziel. The truth about Johnny Manziel. This is a revelation about Johnny Manziel that we have to address. We'll get into that when we come back as well. All that and more. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.